It's a privilege to be here this morning. Thank you all for coming. I have one piece I need to grab just outside here. I'll bring it back in. It's big, but it's not that big. It's kind of comfy and cozy. Hey, Matthew, would you mind helping me out? Would you come demonstrate this one? Oh, thanks, Lynn. Yeah, just go ahead and sit down. If you want to have a seat. So at our house, these chairs are sort of the coveted item. They're a little bulky and they're far from perfect. Actually, you want to have it on stable ground, but it's cozy when you're in it. Just go ahead and sit there for a minute. I hope it's all right this morning. On November 9th of last year, I preached a sermon called Kingdom Work, and I focused on the value of working as unto the Lord and seeing Him in it all. I felt like that Sunday I shared what God had given me to share, but like it was maybe half of the sermon. That, well, I've been told that for every 10 miles of highway, there's 20 miles of ditch, right? And we as Anabaptists, as Germans, are engineered to work hard. We do that naturally. We're hardworking and we do great things. We engineer it well. But I'm pretty guilty of going into the ditch of, well, I'll work this out. I'll make it for myself. And if I could title today's message, it would be The Rest of It. And I felt the Lord reminding me of His purpose in rest. And so the chair, for me, is a picture of rest. It needs a campfire, maybe, but my son Matthew does make donuts at night here in Centerville, and so sometimes his sleep cycle is just way off, and the chair works out all right, doesn't it? That's all I really need. You can end your rest now if you don't mind, but thanks. Thank you, Matthew. I'm going to need a little bit of help today with a few verses. Would you all mind taking a passage? Could I hand out some passages and have a volunteer read? I'll need someone to read Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3. Do I have someone that would take that? Thanks, Carl. And then Exodus 20, just verses 8 through 10. Thanks, Jonas. And Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. So about three verses in Matthew 11. Do I have someone that would take that one? Thanks, Dilton. And I've got two more here. Mark 2, verse 27. Craig, you have that? Okay, thanks. And then Psalm 127, verse 2. Thanks, Nelson. All right. I think that'll do it. I'll call for you in a bit. As I looked at the ditch of overwork, It is very easy for me to simply work harder, to do more, to get more done, to sort out my own problems and try to make it happen. Maybe if I don't think I can quite trust those around me or even trust the Lord, I'll work it out. I'll make this happen. I'll work overtime. And I found kind of four main themes as I look at the other side, the rest that God has created. Rest as a rhythm in the Sabbath. He's created rest for the soul. Rest kind of is trust in His provision, and then rest in a future hope. And I'll work my way through those points. We've talked before about the Sabbath, some, and what the Sabbath is. But Carl, do you mind reading Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3? Thanks. So God rested on that seventh day. I think it's important to note that God wasn't tired. God doesn't run out of energy. He established that day kind of as a rhythm, a pattern for us as humans that we do rest. Jonas, do you mind reading Exodus 20, verses 8 through 10? It's that section of the Ten Commandments. Oh, what was that?
Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week to do your ordinary work. But the Sabbath day is a Sabbath day of rest, dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigner living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them, but on the seventh day he rested. This is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy.
Thanks, Jonas. So it's a mandate that we've been given, or that the children of Israel were given. They were required to comply. But I think it's really important. We look at it, and it's accurate to say, well, God worked and then He rested. But when was man created? Actually, man's first full day of existence was that day of rest. So man was made with the animals there on day six, and he began his week with rest. We're sort of preset for that with the Christian tradition of observing the first day of the week as our Sabbath. But it changes it for me if I think of resting first, of being well rested and then doing my work. To focus my energy on who God is, and then from that to work. So I find rest like built into the rhythm of what our weeks ought to be. Jesus' teaching in the New Testament focused more on rest for the soul. Not so much of a physical rest, but rest within. It kind of shifts from, the New Testament shifts from that strict legal observance of the Sabbath day to the spiritual rest that's found in the relationship with the Lord. Dalton, do you mind reading Matthew 11, 28 through 30? So, thanks, Dalton. The verses here in Matthew are not as specific about what you're doing with your fingers, but where your focus and your heart are. The relationship with Jesus brings rest, brings peace. I spend a lot of time fretting. I know I'm probably alone in that, but I worry a lot if I'm doing the right thing, if this is going the right way, if I'm getting it good enough. I just don't know. But when I take that to Jesus and I accept His yoke, there's a lot of peace and a lot of. So this is more of a rest for the soul. Craig, do you mind reading Mark 2, verse 27? Okay. Thanks. But the focus here is not on the exact day, but on the attitude of worship and rest in who the Lord is. The next point that I came across, I found, was rest as trust and provision. Like resting is allowing someone or something else to happen without me making it happen myself. Biblical rest often highlights our dependence on God rather than on our own efforts. It's a way of saying the Lord will continue to turn even if I stop working. Nelson, do you mind reading Psalm 127, verse 2? It is vain to work so hard because the Lord gives sleep to His beloved. It goes against my grain. Exodus 33, verse 14, God promises Moses that my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. It shows that true rest is found in God's presence, not just in a change of location. The children of Israel were moving from place to place. I find that rest is a physical or mental ascent to who God is. It demonstrates trust, and for me it requires surrender. I came across a poem from Hannah Hernard. It's the same phrase that Amy Carmichael would have made popular. In acceptance lieth peace. In acceptance lieth peace. O my heart, be still. Let thy restless worries cease and accept His will. Though His test be not thy choice, and it is His, therefore rejoice. In His plan there cannot be aught to make thee sad. If this is His choice for thee, take it and be glad. Move it from some lovely thing to glory of thy mighty King. Cease from sighs and murmuring. Sing His loving grace. This thing means thy furthering to a wealthy place. From thy fears He'll give release in acceptance. In acceptance lieth peace. So much of my striving and my toiling comes from me not accepting what God has given me. So I don't know where that lands for you here at the beginning of 2026. I've spent a lot of time trying to make it work out. And while I think God clearly calls us to keep striving after Him, I felt God reminding me that I need to rest in Him. that I need to surrender my will, trust what He has, and find the rest that He gives me. So as you are starting this year, maybe some time in the chair is what you need. As you're starting the year, I know that when the snow comes down, I get the snowblower or pick up a shovel and want to clean up right away. And that may be what's needed, but it may be that we need to sit and watch the snow fall for a bit and let God work in us. The last point that I wanted to share this morning ties in with our Sunday school lesson quite well, in that it's rest as a future hope. The Bible speaks about the Sabbath rest that is yet to come, the eternal peace where there's no more toil, suffering, or conflict. So we're called into God's rest, but we will eternally be in God's rest as believers. Hebrews 4, verses 9 through 11. I wanted to read that this morning. You're welcome to turn to it if you want to. But Hebrews 4, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who entered his rest has come himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. So we're called to be righteous. We're called to let our love for the Lord express itself through righteous living. And that the end effect of that is rest. Is His rest in heaven. Revelation 14, verse 13 ties in with that. This is John writing. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. If you were here for Sunday school, we spent time talking about our eternal hope, right? Blessed are those who have died in the Lord, for He promises rest. It is not a fearful thing. It is a wonderful thing. I don't plan to spend eternity sitting in a lawn chair. I imagine there's a lot of praise and worship to be done. But I do imagine eternity to be a time filled with joy and peace and rest. In acceptance lieth peace. May we each find the rest that the Lord promises as we accept what He's given. I'd be glad for your prayers as we head into 2026. I don't mean to make this about me. I recognize that Chad Graber has a lot of grasping and trying and reaching. And so I hope that the message this morning speaks to where you are as well. But this is God talking to Chad, and I'm glad to share it. May we find His rest in the year ahead. Would you all mind standing? We'll wrap it up with prayer. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom is coming. May your will be done. Lord, we ask you to help us be aware of your presence as we walk into the year ahead. Thank you so much for what you've done. And we know that we can trust you. Lord, I pray for the leadership team here at Calvary Chapel. I pray for the youth group. I pray for our many committees that do so much to keep this church together. Lord, I pray that you would grant your rest, your peace, and help us to accept what you give. Thank you, Lord, for the food that's been prepared. I pray you bless the afternoon meal and the time of singing and those that go into the jail today. Let's pray for your hand to be noted and that you would be free to work. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.